May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I'm sure that when we were children, there were things that we wanted to be when we grew up. An astronaut, a racing car driver, a princess, a football star, by which, of course, I mean a soccer star, not that thing with which you throw with your arm. For me, the thing that I wanted to be was I wanted to be a soldier. And I'm sure this comes as no surprise to you, given what a strong and manly and warlike figure I clearly am. And I actually kind of followed through on this. I did a course in my gap year before going to university for people who are interested in being officers in the British Army. But I very quickly realized that this probably wasn't the calling that God had in mind for me. But I did kind of keep with it in one sense, in that I served as an Army reservist for 5 years in the British Army. I was in the oldest regiment in the British Army, the Honourable Artillery Company, that dated back to 1547. And in those days, this is such a long time ago, we were training to fight the Soviets, to fight them if they ever invaded Germany. And we trained, and we trained, and we trained. And when we were at the end of our exhaustion, we trained and trained and trained more. And our drill sergeants used to look at us and say, "You horrible lot. We're going to train you and train you and train you. Because if you ever find yourselves in combat, there'll be no time to think about things. You just need to know what to do instinctively." Training, training, and more training. You simply need to know what to do instinctively. I was thinking about this in regard to our reading today, the gospel reading of the story of the Transfiguration, in which Jesus has his mountaintop experience of an encounter with God that leaves him transfigured. And of course, the main theological point of the story is that God affirms Jesus as his beloved and affirms his path that he's now to take to go to Jerusalem to suffer death and the resurrection. But when as church people we reflect about this story, often the conversations that we have with people are about our own encounters or lack of encounters that we have with God or the transcendent. Because while there are people who are able to talk about the experiences that they've have had of God, there are many people, people of faith, who might say they've never really had an experience of God. And indeed, when they hear about other people talking about their experiences of God, it can leave them feeling like that maybe only special people or really holy people have experiences of the divine. But I tell you, it ain't so. All of us can have experiences of God. And while there are a few people who are super holy, like Desmond Tutu or St. Francis or the Dalai Lama, for most of us, it's about training, training, and training so that our eyes are open, so that when God, who's constantly knocking at the door of our souls, when he's knocking at our door, we have the eyes to see him, to welcome God into our hearts, rather than wondering what has happened to us, that we know what has happened. When I think about the disciples who Jesus called, what a motley crew they were. They got things wrong, they didn't understand, they said the most stupid things at times. They were ordinary people, like St. Andrew, who our church is named after. And I think Jesus chose these ordinary people to send us a message that experiencing God isn't about some innate holiness you have in you, but is about training, training, and training. And those motley group of disciples, because they made the decision to be with Jesus and to train and train and train with him, became people whose eyes were opened. They became the founders of a church that conquered the world. And it's true for us sitting here, ordinary people. that if we give ourselves to train and train and train, we too can experience Christ. And that's what coming to church is about. For 125 years, ordinary people like you and me have come to these pews in times of prosperity and plenty, in times of warfare and economic depression, to celebrate things like the baptism of a baby, to mourn the death of a loved one, or to present their fears to God. People have come here to our holy mountain to experience God, to hear that we are the beloved of God, and to train so that our eyes are open to experience God and to go into the world to share that love. In a moment, I'm going to ask Stephen Clark, the co-chair of our search committee, have the search on my mind as well. I was in Yale Divinity School earlier this week interviewing some people for Kat's position. But Stephen Clark, the co-chair of our capital campaign, is going to come and talk to us about our campaign, which is about giving thanks for the people who've made this church and bequeathed us this church. But it's also about us paying it forward to future generations so that one day Annabelle will be here with her daughters and sons to have them baptized. And in several generations' time, her daughter will be here to have her children baptized. Amen.